Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So I want to talk about Spielberg as a gamer, because he's just like us, everybody. And to look at the context of his career is very interesting, because we think of him as this like gentle bearded baseball cap wearing man with glasses, like old movie grandpa. He's going to direct another great movie. But in the past, yes, he was young. And the point of view people had on Spielberg, and honestly, the persona he had, is I'm just a big kid and I'm playing with my toys. And that used to be a shameful path in life 50 years ago. Now you can do that. Now you can host a video game podcast. Everyone's okay with it. You can have stuffed animals behind you in your podcasting room and appear on camera and have no shame. But people look down on the whole big kid persona back then. And part of that big kid persona for Spielberg is that he loved video games. He was an adult during the arcade's golden age from the late 70s to the early 80s. And some older people found this repellent. They didn't like this persona. They are like, we're not impressed by you and you're playing with these toys. Lots of seasoned critics were giving his movies bad reviews. I think because of this persona, this like young hotshot thinks he can make a movie for everybody. Well, I'll show him. And then if you look at Spielberg in the past, it's not hard to find a ton of photos of him posing with his favorite arcade machines, like Missile Command and Space Invaders. If you look at his old office, I believe at Amblin Entertainment, there was a Donkey Kong machine in the office. So he was, I wouldn't say synonymous with gaming, but there's so many pictures of Spielberg just playing arcade games in the early 80s, like in the E.T. era.
I think the Donkey Kong picture is one of the ones that stands out to me, because as far as I understand, that was like not long after Donkey Kong started hitting like bars in America. And so, you know, he was somebody who was going out of his way, probably putting out a lot of money to get access to those games, because he couldn't go out to bars to play Donkey Kong, you know, if he was on set making a movie. And so, like, you know, that's commitment. This was at a time when video games in America had been in their lull, right? There was the kind of Western American crash of video games. And so he was sort of at that edge of the entertainment reemergence of video games. And I think that tells you a lot about his curiosity about storytelling mediums and how they probably intersect, and how he recognized that, you know, becoming a better filmmaker happens because you're reading or you're playing games or you're doing any other sort of experience that it introduces you to new ways to tell stories.
Yeah, I'm guessing the fascination with Donkey Kong is because it's one of the first games, maybe technically the first game, with a real narrative where there's like events that happen from beginning to end. There is an ending, which was very, very uncommon. Maybe he was thinking, okay, this is very simple and it's essentially King Kong, but maybe there's something more here. Maybe that was scratching some part of his brain, the whole Donkey Kong idea. And yes, we were mentioning that, I believe, Aiden, you were saying that he was sort of like on the cutting edge of video games. Arcades were doing very well. We're on the brink of the Western video game crash for a few years before the NES kind of revives things. And if you look at behind the scenes materials for certain movies like E.T., you can see Spielberg as a gamer talking about video games. When I was doing the E.T. podcast like 3 years ago, I was watching all the special features on the DVD. And there's essentially like one very long reel where it's all the behind the scenes stuff for E.T., and in one of the bits of this reel, he's talking to all the child actors. They're just kind of bullshitting about video games because they're all into video games. And what's so great about this is you can tell just what's happening in the world when E.T. is being filmed, because Steven Spielberg is telling these kids about a game called Pac-Man, which they've never heard of. It's like, oh, you got to play this game called Pac-Man. You have to drive all the way to Westwood to play it, but it's totally worth it. So he's telling the kids where to find Pac-Man before it is literally like in every convenience store, in every Sears lobby, in every arcade. So Spielberg is, he's got his pulse, his fingers on the pulse of video games in the early 80s. It's crazy.
And in a way that doesn't seem like skeezy. Like now you'd get somebody, you know, big influential Hollywood person being like, oh, have you heard of this Pac-Man game? You guys should all, you kids should all go out and buy it. And then you find out they have a 20% stake in Pac-Man or whatever. Whereas, you know, this is way before we had sort of modern, you know, influencer culture. And he was just genuinely excited about these games, which I think is unique at the time, especially for an adult to be out there being like, hey, these games are great. I'm going to associate myself with them without shame.
Well, and Bob, I think you said the curiosity, right? And I think visually, because this is Lucas too, you know, obviously they were collaborators and colleagues and contemporaries, of being entranced by the possibility of, ooh, like, look how you can present this. Look how you can tell a story. This can be interactive. What could this be? What possibilities does this open up, you know, for me as a movie maker, but also just in general as a creator, look how we can tell stories, right? And so, and then maybe just truly as a gamer where it's like, hey, you got to drive out here, but like, look, there's nothing as good as this in the arcades right now. There's nothing else giving me this experience. And yeah, I think it's part of that curiosity and passion for just like learning how to make things and learning how other people make things exciting and interesting.
Oh yeah, definitely. And we were talking about his versatility as a director. He was also very versatile as a game developer or a game idea haver, because his game ideas are as diverse as all of his movie ideas. And we'll cover those very soon, because he didn't just want to make one kind of game. He was just jumping around from idea to idea, looking at the possibilities. And, you know, despite Spielberg's very big interest in video games, George Lucas was the director from his generation to really take games seriously. And that was via the creation of Lucasfilm Games. And to be fair, George Lucas wasn't quite as hands-on with filmmaking throughout the 80s. Yes, there was Howard the Duck. We try to forget about that. So he had a little more time to figure out like little different companies Lucas could fund for, you know, visual arts like Pixar or for video games like Lucasfilm. And we've covered every Lucasfilm and LucasArts adventure game, so we've gone over this in great detail. But yeah, I believe the studio was founded in 83. So he was getting in on the ground floor of, okay, people are getting their own computers at home. What can we do with these? This is an entirely new market, and we're not just going to make Star Wars games. That was a big edict in the very beginning. Eventually, yes, they did just make Star Wars games, but he was not interested in just putting Star Wars on a new kind of product and shipping it out the door.
Now we have, it's kind of come full circle, because all the Star Wars movies are just made on sets with like background design in Unreal. Like they use, yes, Unreal Engine for like so many of the Star Wars shows these days, except maybe Andor. So it is sort of that full circle moment. And I wonder how much of like nurturing the technology and getting in on the ground floor of the technology was interesting to Lucas as well, way back when. Because he was obviously like very interested in how he could do things on camera that weren't being done before. Like Star Wars was fantastic because nobody had seen some of the stuff that Lucas was trying visually, and maybe video games, maybe he saw that, you know, that commitment, that investment in a technology that might not pay off for film for 40 years, but it got there, and it's huge in that industry now.
Yeah, it seems like every Star Wars TV show production is just a giant episode of Nick Arcade, where people are just touching nothing and being in a space that doesn't exist. And I mean, it can look good. I wonder if that affects performances, but it seems to be better than just being on a green screen, because I guess you can actually see the things you're interacting with are kind of there with you.
Right.
You're not looking at a tennis ball, in other words.
Yeah.
Like Jar Jar Binks.